We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Tuesday, September 27th edition of the RotoWire Fantasy Podcast. We're going over all your week four waiver wire pickups, some running backs that probably already rostered, some wide receivers that are maybe not, so stick around. And we'll go through all those and more throughout the rest of the show. Again, welcome to the Tuesday, September 27th edition of the RotoWire NFL Facebook podcast. I'm Joe Bartle, back right from the graveyard, it felt like, over strep throat. Thank God that is more or less done. My voice will continue to waver throughout the show, but our fantasy analysis will not. Alongside me, as always, Jake Tarski.
What a great way to put it, man. I'm glad you're over the illness. Thanks again to Alan Sislowski for stepping in for me last week. Real sad that I heard you have right before the show, you told me you had to miss the Packer game as a result.
So I mean, it was a good thing. There was literally no way I could have been able to sit through that Bears Packers one, cheering or anything else. It was like 102 fever for the entire week. Oof. I've lost 7 pounds throughout the course of that whole week too.
Dang, I need to catch strep throat like 5 times then, if that's the case.
No, I don't. I mean, and so we have, for the listeners out there who have been following us for a number of years, I have a 14-month-old son, so I'm going through those like younger year illnesses, things like that. We thought it was hand, foot, and mouth, which if for those of you who are not aware of that, and now this is a medical podcast, this is a fantasy podcast, I promise. The fact that I got strep throat instead of the hand, foot, and mouth was significantly better than what we could have hoped for. So all good news on that front. Again, hopefully my voice will hold through as best we can. But I guess I'll say not a lot of top waiver wire pickups. I think kind of like last week, there's some in-between names we'll have to discuss.
There are definitely some. At least some to mention. Yeah, the theme of the show is we're going to have like top tier guys that are arguably empty all your fab guys because of change in circumstance on their team or surrounding injuries. Big time pickups, but the problem is everyone is between 49% and 65% rostered already. So we'll touch on them, talk about their merits, and then try to find some deep dives because I know our listeners are in a variety of different leagues here. So hopefully we'll give you some useful information and hopefully just maybe one of these guys that can change your season is left out there on the waiver wire for you.
Yeah, before we get to the Monday night recap and then, of course, the ensuing free agents, get a word from our sponsors, ProThrow. Have you ever bet on sports with your buddies? Well, of course, ProThrow is the only sports betting platform that lets you bet directly with your friends. And ProThrow doesn't take a cut of every bet. No fees, no juice, no middleman. ProThrow is not a sports book. You bet on sports directly against users with no juice or anything else like that, which saves you a ton of money over time. Betting $11 to win $10 stinks, but with ProThrow, you can bet 10 to win 10. ProThrow offers a hassle-free sign-up process that lets you get in the action in seconds, and you don't have to deposit money on ProThrow either. Instead, you pay other bettors directly. Throw out your first bet and go to ProThrow.com/ROTO and use your use code ROTO. ProThrow is a free sign-up. You can cut out the middleman and start betting on ProThrow. That's ProThrow.com/ROTO to get that first bet up start. So,
not a frat party game, a fantasy football site.
Yes, exactly. We had a Monday Night Football game. Now, Jake, I'll be honest, I didn't get a chance to participate in that game as much as I want to, although it's an NFC East game between the Giants and Cowboys.
Yeah.
I'm not normally interested in that anyhow. We are in the process of moving this week on top of everything.
Oh, there you go.
It's been hard for me.
So I pretty much watched it from front to beginning with like a slight... from front to back, sorry. Yeah, Jason, here we go already. I watched it from front to back with like a slight snooze from late in the second quarter to early in the third quarter. I timed the nap pretty well because it was field goal city to start on until some touchdowns started getting going early on. So I think I watched the important parts here, but I've got the big storylines here for you. I mean, obviously Cooper Rush, right? He's the big storyline in that he's been successful without Dak Prescott. Now, no, we don't believe Jerry Jones. No, he's not actually going to take Dak's job, who, by the way, Dak got some of the bandages throwing off after his from his surgery. They were taken off, and he was throwing the football with some kind of contraption there on his thumb. And he kind of told the sideline reporters, that who knows, maybe next week. He hints that next week he won't rule it out, but maybe it's a couple weeks for Dak, and that's interesting. In the meantime, Cooper Rush becomes the first quarterback in history, I believe, to lead three game-winning drives in the fourth quarter or overtime to start his career 3-0. It's been pretty outstanding for him. I mean, he's making throws that, professional quarterbacks, he is a professional quarterback, but, higher level quarterbacks tend to make here. It's made it so CeeDee Lamb isn't a complete waste. I know a lot of fantasy managers that took him at the turn or in the mid-second round started to get really worried about CeeDee Lamb, especially after that first week. So they've been good, but, on top of Cooper Rush, the big storyline for me has to be the Dallas running backs here. And, we always talked about this changing of the guard maybe happening. When is it going to happen? You'd rather be a year too early than a year too late. And as a result, Ezekiel Elliott's average draft position kind of fell down to the fourth roundish by the time we got closer to draft season. Now, some people, including myself, did grab a couple shares at that price. And Elliott did score his first touchdown of the season, which you'd think is a pretty good sign. But really, it was Pollard that was the more effective back here. Pollard carried the ball 13 times for 105 yards, Elliott 15 times for 73 yards. And the big thing for me watching the game here is on that final drive when the Cowboys their goal was to kill time, right, and get first downs by running on the ground. They let Pollard have the first carry, and then, of course, Zeke had the second two. But the fact that they have that level of trust in Pollard to use him in that situations, I'm not necessarily saying pushing the panic button on Zeke because they can still be effective in a two-back system. Mm-hmm. But overall, I mean, if you're ranking the two of them, as far as rest of season goes, they're going to be right next to each other, if not Pollard slightly ahead.
I mean, are you panicking about Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon? It's the same type of thing, mm-hmm. right, with that running back split, and I'm not concerned in the slightest.
Yeah.
If you were drafting Zeke in the fourth round, 15 carries, 73 yards and touchdown is fine. That probably won you leagues this week, given how low scoring overall week three fantasy seemed to be. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about it. The Pollard stuff – you were hoping Pollard would be more of a pass catcher. So the fact that he's kind of still getting those carries as a changed pace guy.
Neither of them, I guess Cooper Rush is not really throwing to his backs.
That's what I think.
Yeah, they each had one target, only one, and Zeke caught his for 2 yards and Pollard didn't catch his. So, no real pass catching from the from the running backs there.
Yeah, on the other side of things, the Giants, obviously Saquon Barkley is about their only big thing. Daniel Jones had some Monday night running magic like he seems to always do in these primetime games, but wasn't much of a passer, it felt like, and that's been the case for most of the season. I know that we have some Giants fans certainly in the RotoWire sphere, and I felt like they are pretty pretenders of 2-0. I'm glad that the Cowboys did what they were supposed to, even though they had Cooper Rush there. Yeah, Kenny Galladay and Sterling Shepard had notably – bad things happen. Kenny Galladay stinking, and Sterling Shepard tearing something.
We're gonna have real. I don't know if the official on Sterling Shepard came out, but basically on the Giants' last drive of the game, he went down, non-contact. Nobody touched him. Right. Went down, had to get carted off, and the Twitter docs are always out. I've seen everything from torn patellar tendon.
Literally breaking news. 46 seconds ago, it has been reported that he tore his ACL. This is Ian Rapoport. That just reported that Sterling Shepard has, in fact, torn his ACL.
So, I mean, we kind of figured out for the season, right, when he goes down like that, non-contact, then gets carted off. The best-case scenario is missing 6 weeks, but, he'll miss his season. You got to feel for the guy. He's a good player that has had some really tough injury breaks, and he's just haven't held up. I know because he's coming back from the Achilles injury, too. Not everybody can be James Robinson. James Robinson's doctor, by the way, should be the richest man in all of sports medicine for the next couple of years, because that's been amazing. But not to get sidetracked too much. So it's like, what do the Giants do now with their pass catchers? Because Shepard's out for the year. Kenny Galladay, man, complains so much about not being on the field. Then he finally goes on the field, and the one time he gets the ball, he pretty much blew it, right? Because it was a third down and long. He got the ball on kind of a hitch route, if I remember it. Yeah. He came back. It could have easily been, you know, he was half a step away from it being a football move and a fumble. Mm-hmm. But the ball came out. You know, he had a clear path to get the first down. It was a crucial drive where they're going down looking to tie the game. And the ball pops out. You know, fortunately for him, it wasn't a fumble, but it was just as bad. And those Giants fans let him hear it too. So where does he go from here? I don't know. I mean, they're going to have no choice but to use him to some degree. I mean, we'll see what happens with Kadarius Toney this week. I mean, your Kadarius Toney draft picks that look bad at the beginning might actually turn into something because they're simply out of options.
Well, and Rondale Robinson was also ruled out from this game on Saturday. It was interesting to see the injury reports on Saturday because I was the one doing the notes, and it seemed like Michael Gallup was going to play. It seemed like Dalton Schultz had some positive momentum going his way. It was really just that Wandale was out, Kadarius Toney was doubtful time, was going to be pretty clearly ruled out as well, too. I'm not sure what that Giants pass-catching group looks like. It's Richie James, David Sills, Wandale, and then Kadarius Toney, and then you have Galladay, and like Darius Slayton, who has had moments in the past as well with Daniel Jones as quarterback that he's buried so far in the depth chart. It's really interesting. With Shepard out, this is going to be one that we have to watch, but I'm not sure it's an actual one.
Yeah, and we have to touch on the Cowboys pass-catchers just real quick. I mean, Noah Brown was number two to CeeDee Lamb with 7 targets, got 5 for 54. I think when Gallup comes back and can take on a full snap load, that role is going to be his, and he'll be productive. So I put Gallup down as one of our ads before. And I know last week with Alan, I tried to plug the former Badger, Jake Ferguson, give him a little bit of love. It was Peyton Hendershot that was probably the tight end too in the absence of Dalton Schultz. And of course, Ferguson, you know, 2 of his 3 targets for 13 yards, but he also should have gotten out of, or should have stayed in bounds for the Cowboys. And it basically was a 40-second bonus for the Giants on that final drive. Didn't end up mattering, but it was a big mental mistake that I can only imagine might cost them reps. So yeah, not that the career is over or anything by any means, but not quite the showing that I had hoped when I put him out there as a sleeper for your 14 team, 2 tight end leagues last week.
Should we move on to the quarterbacks?
Yes, I think it's time.
All right. So we have to outline this with Mac Jones a little bit because there's some differing opinions right now. So Mac Jones, we've all seen the images of him being carried off into the locker room at the end of that game. The reports are
pretty much screaming in pain.
Yeah. It's not a good image for Mac Jones, and he hasn't had many good images. You know, the one where he's thrown away. Okay, so Mac Jones, high ankle sprain, obviously a painful injury. I don't want to discount
that. Yeah, I don't want to kick the guy when he's down too bad.
It's what's the recovery timeline? Because this could be one of those where you could have surgery. It sounds like that was that severe of an injury. And it might even seem like Mac Jones himself wants to do that. There was reports Sunday night that Mac Jones and his camp would favor a longer recovery time frame, which would theoretically mean the surgery, 6 to 8 weeks in terms of his recovery timeline, where the Patriots want him to be back as soon as possible. I guess that makes sense from the team perspective. Yeah, 2 week return time if it was up to the Patriots. Where are you leaning with this? Because, I mean, it's Brian Hoyer right now. Maybe you're I forget the guy, the speedy guy that they drafted in like the 5th or 6th round.
Oh, Bailey Zapp?
Yeah, Zapp.
I don't know. There's no accent in that name.
So Brian Hoyer is your starter for the immediate future. It's going to be how long do you have Brian Hoyer? If you have Brian Hoyer in the Mac Jones time frame where he's out 6 to 8 weeks, that's unfortunately interesting in a super flex league or deeper leagues because you have to consider that from a bi-week perspective starting up kind of soon.
Yeah, or I'll be bidding on him. And I should be getting Dak Prescott back in my dynasty league I like to talk about. But no, it's interesting. I mean, Brian Hoyer, there's familiarity here. There's just not much ceiling here. You're throwing him out there and you're hoping for 15 points a game, really. I mean, Devontae Parker did break out a little bit for the Patriots this week. We'll talk about him later. Jacoby Myers is a nice PPR guy. But I feel like Hoyer is just there's not much ceiling. There's nothing flashy there. Now, if it's a 2-quarterback league where maybe you lost Mac Jones, you weren't getting much from Mac Jones anyway. Yeah, I could see throwing a 20-30% bid out there, maybe even more, just to make sure you lock him up, given how dire the situation actually is. But it's definitely not a bid you get super excited about. As far as the injury goes, like you noted at the front of the show, we're not a medical podcast, but you think high ankle sprain anywhere from 2 to 3 to 4 to 6 weeks, severe high ankle sprain 6 to 8 weeks, and now we're looking at possible season-ending surgery. I mean,
I don't know if it's season-ending surgery for Mac Jones yet. If you were to have the surgery, he's out 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there we go. You got that a little bit better.
And this is from the Patriots side of things. And
we know how Belichick does.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces with this. I'm surprised the Patriots want to push out their franchise QB on an injury that is this severe, but it's not like Mac Jones is all that mobile. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the part where it'd be problematic. The offensive line isn't great. I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So this week, right, the Patriots versus the Packers
at Lambeau.
I'm not sure you're playing Brian Hoyer even in super flex formats.
Yeah, that Packers defense. I mean, we thought they might be pretty good to start the year. Obviously, they got off to a bit of a slow start against Minnesota here, and we were a little worried about the Jaire Alexander injury. But clearly, they have depth in the secondary that can get them going. And yeah, they're definitely a matchup you probably want to avoid, especially as a backup quarterback. I'm even going to be a little bit worried about my Jacoby Myers shares this week.
Yeah, and Myers didn't play this past week, is going to be a lead into Devontae Parker. We'll talk about a little bit later on in the show. Okay, so quarterback-wise, the Mac Jones part of this. So then we have Tua, who definitely didn't suffer a concussion during the win over the Bills.
Yeah, wink, wink, right?
Back injury, supposedly, which leaves you groggy. I've had, I guess, Jake, plenty of back injuries throughout my times playing football and soccer. So aware of what a concussion looks like at
all. Once again, not a medical podcast, but I was talking to this with my brother yesterday, and we're both big UFC fans. And he tells me, from watching MMA, that guy got his bell rung. You know, that guy's knocked out. If that happens in an octagon, the referee's stepping in to wave it off, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, very interesting here. Again, I'm not going to pretend, to have my MD here, but I would just be on the lookout because it's a Thursday night game. If they have any kind of findings, maybe Teddy Two Gloves, Teddy Bridgewater comes into play here. But, as far as your two quarterback leagues, at least Brian Hoyer is going to start at least a couple games here. Right. So that, that definitely ranks ahead. You're more or less keeping an eye on Teddy in the chance that that Tua has to sit. And the brief time Teddy was in, you could see, I don't know if you caught any of that on Red Zone, but you could see Tyreek Hill visibly upset with where those balls were going.
Oh, sure.
In the two passes that Teddy threw, Tyreek Hill was not happy with it. So, maybe they'll have some time to develop chemistry if something happens, but you don't really look forward to Teddy, and obviously Waddle and Hill value gets hugely downgraded if he has to play.
All reports seem to indicate that the Dolphins are going to stick to that back thing until they lose another first-round pick. But for the meantime, that doesn't hurt us in a fantasy perspective. It sounds like Tua will play. Mm-hmm. Again, important because it's a Thursday contest.
Yep.
From a streaming quarterback perspective, get a couple of names to just consider.
Yeah.
And I'll list them. Jake and I want you to discuss the merits for a few of them. So Jared Goff at 45% rostered going against the Seahawks. Jameis Winston and his 37 back vertebrae injuries against the Vikings at 42% rostered. Mm-hmm. And then Jimmy G, newly appointed starting quarterback, who you and Alan covered profusely last week, at 35% roster going against the Rams. Of those three, maybe throw Matt Ryan too against the Titans at 35%.
Yeah.
Of those four, which one do you like the most?
I actually kind of like Goff because it seems like, he loses DeAndre Swift. That's a bit of a concern.
Theoretically. Theoretically, he's going to lose DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not confirmed yet. He's week to
week. Oh, I guess, he's week to week. Okay, sure. I'm preparing for a multi-week absence from DeAndre Swift just from everything I've read about that situation. But who knows? Maybe he pleasantly surprises me. The sun god, Amon-Ra St. Brown, is looking like a wide receiver one. And as long as Goff keeps feeding him the ball, they're having success. So he's probably a guy that you look at that that wasn't even really on the radar at the start of the year. Now, streaming is interesting because, Mac Jones, Tua, maybe those were guys you were picking up and playing if you lost Dak, for example, or if you lost Trey Lance, for example. So now streaming gets to be here. We don't have buys for a while yet, but you have those situations. You also have Justin Herbert, who is interesting, wasn't all that effective. He'll get Keenan Allen back, hopefully, this week, but he's someone that you start to think about, okay, do I look at my plan B? I played Cousins over Herbert this week.
That's exactly the combo I did too.
Yeah, because the Cousins had the nooner and Herbert was like, even Glazer didn't know on Fox before the game. So I was like, well, I have to roll out Cousins because otherwise, I can't afford to carry three quarterbacks in this league by picking somebody up and the options will be ugly anyway. So Herbert's an interesting one that you have to think about as a streamer. Yeah.
I know you wish we could talk more offensive linemen all day on this podcast, but the Chargers lost Rashawn Slater, their all-pro left tackle, to the torn bicep. Corey Linsley, all-pro center, missed last week's game with a knee injury. No idea what his stats will be.
Yeah.
That's two of their best linemen, and that was like two of their only good spots.
Some of the best linemen in the division, in the conference. Those are solid guys.
I agree. I think starting Justin Herbert is going to be interesting now, especially with Rashawn Slater out. But so long as Corey Linsley's out too, I'm more concerned about that as well. So, mm-hmm. I mean, these names again, Goff, Winston, Jimmy G, Matt Ryan.
Would I start Goff over Herbert? Probably not, but it becomes really, really interesting. We have to monitor practice participation maybe a little bit. The other name I put on the list that I'm slightly interested in is Marcus Mariota, 22% rostered against the Browns. I know that the Browns defense is good, but I believe Clowney didn't play last week, and Myles Garrett, I don't know the latest news on him, but he was in a car accident. He seemed to have avoided any serious injuries, but you know, you want to watch that. If they're down their two best pass rushers like that, you know, that makes it a lot easier for a guy like Marcus Mariota to seal the edge. Now, he didn't have a good game with his feet last week, and he fumbled twice, you know, which cost a lot of fantasy managers, but he still ended up with like 16 fantasy points despite all the turnovers. Mm-hmm. So Mariota is only 22% rostered, and he's somebody that I think makes it a real competitive. You really got to think about that Mariota versus Herbert choice, especially if Herbert's not practicing. He needs to get another injection, or maybe, you know, you have him in the late game and you're not sure, and you know, you have to go to Mariota. So I still keep Mariota as one of my top targets, right up there with Goff, kind of neck and neck, though maybe I slightly prefer Mariota.
I like the Mariota play. And again, just for streamer options, we mentioned Winston, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. I would play Baker Mayfield against the Cardinals defense and Geno Smith against the Lions defense.
Oh, yeah.
Over any of those four that we just mentioned. I think Geno mm-hmm. Smith actually is sneakily like a top 20, top 18 fantasy play this week. And Baker Mayfield is for as bad as DJ Moore has been. I know that's been a lot of hysteria mm-hmm. right now. We have questions in the comment section about DJ Moore and what you should trade him for. Totally get it. Completely understand. I'd bail as best I could. This should be a good match against the Cardinals defense with Baker Mayfield and Panthers. Mm-hmm. So that would be another one that I could kind of
basically, if it doesn't happen this week, it might not be happening.
Yeah, and I'm pretty certain overall. We did the over-unders mm-hmm. in the Panthers, right? And I was like, I'm taking the under on their wins. That was in part because I wasn't
Moore is just in that dreaded fantasy purgatory. Nobody wants to trade for him. You can't really bring yourself to cut him, but you certainly can't start him. So he's just that frustratingly dead weight on your roster there. So I agree with you. Mariota, Geno, you know, even Baker. There's some decent options to stream, but you have to be real, real gutsy to pull that trigger and swap him for Herbert.
Oh, right. Yeah, the Herbert one that'll be interesting. It's easy when we have mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins, like you and I had mentioned.
Yep.
Different entirely when you're dealing with Geno Smith, of all mm-hmm. people. Let's transition over to the running backs. Before we do, let's stop and get a word from our sponsors. For the video audience, this will be a momentary thing. Audio audience, we will be right back.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so running backs. Last week, you guys mentioned Darrell Williams. And Benjamin, the Cardinals backfield overall, what was it going to look like? Raheem Mostert, yeah. Tyler Allgeier, I guess you put in parentheses reluctantly.
Yeah. So he's one of those cases where, like, I try to review every major waiver list out there. And some of these guys I put on the list that we talk about, but also say, like, why I'm not necessarily so interested in them. And Alan and I, if you listened to the show last week, neither of us were really on Allgeier. So apparently that was the right call because Cordarrelle Patterson ended up having a pretty good week.
Still continues to be insane. Yeah. This week it's going to be tricky because we talked on the top of the broadcast. There's a lot of running backs that if they are available, it is a dump your waiver wire entirely situation. Jamal Williams with DeAndre Swift listed as week to week, probably not playing this week. I think that's an assumption you made, Jake, but that's a fair assumption. Then there's David Montgomery, who is, I guess, day to day, but let's be honest, it's a weird situation with that Bears offense overall.
Yeah.
If Khalil Herbert is available and you really need a starter, I'm totally comfortable because it seems like Herbert. I think I saw he's listed as running back 7 overall in fantasy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was
running back 7.
Yeah, he had a 30-point PPR week, you know, after, you know, despite not really being that much of a pass catcher, 150 yards on the ground and 2 scores. But I just want to take this from the top quick. Our last note on DeAndre Swift is interesting. It takes a quote from head coach Dan Campbell that says maybe he could benefit from taking the next 2 weeks off because the Lions have a week 6 bye. And obviously, you know, that might not be the case. That could just be his way of, you know, maneuvering, and Swift ends up playing this week. But Jamal Williams, the reason he's 61% rostered already is because he's basically been the goal line guy, even with Swift around. So that brings him standalone value in any kind of league with depth. So he's out there first. You know, he probably has to be your first pick because we don't know exactly how long Delvin Cook or David Montgomery are going to miss, if time at all. Now, Delvin Cook could come out there with his shoulder injury. This is something that I believe has happened to him in the past, and it's a subluxed shoulder injury. So much more medical talk than we've been to in the past. Now, this is the same thing that happened to him week 13 last season, and I think the hope is that he'll just play through it wearing a harness, but Madison will get significant work. Either way, you know, he's been involved, you know, regardless. So he's another guy that's similar to Williams, has some standalone value there. Here, Khalil Herbert, probably overall your top pickup. If you had to pick between Herbert and Williams, most people aren't going to be fortunate enough to have to make this decision. You might almost. He'd probably go Williams just because of the goal line work, but Herbert's right behind. And, you know, Montgomery has knee and ankle injuries. It didn't look great. We'll have to see what his practice participation looks like, you know, and make a bid from there. But Herbert was already one of the top backups worth rostering. It didn't look so much last week against the Packers where Montgomery was getting a ton of the work. But this week, obviously, we saw that there's an easy swap here, you know, where Herbert becomes the feature back. If something happens to Montgomery, and he's got a couple decent weeks ahead at the Giants, at the Vikings, versus the Commanders here, all kind of middle of the pack to bottom of the pack options here. So I would argue emptying the fab for these next couple weeks with the idea that he stays on your roster, even when Montgomery's back, he can be a desperation flex week and a bye, even when Montgomery is healthy. And who knows, Montgomery, you know, something could happen to him again down the line, making him, the way this offense runs, it's run heavy. They don't trust Fields. They trust the running backs in the running game. And that makes Herbert probably the top guy, assuming Williams is unavailable.
Honestly, I think what's going to be more important for fantasy managers listening to this or kind of game planning how they want to operate with the waiver wire this week, what can you trade for Jamal Williams or Khalil Herbert? That might be more important because, again, we have Jamal Williams at rostered 61% on Yahoo, Khalil Herbert at 49%. We were talking before we came on the podcast, Aaron Quinn, who's one of our many, many masterminds here at the RotoWire HQ Center and also does a lot of different stuff. He was going to offer a certain wide receiver for Jamal Williams and stuff. And I've had questions here as well, too, that have been answering, what would you trade for Jamal Williams? I'm not sure the answer. I think you could tweet us at JP Fantasy Sports, at Roto Jake. We'll be glad to help participate as best we can for figuring out the best Jamal Williams. Because if you have Jamal Williams, especially if you don't have DeAndre Swift, you're thinking this is you know, found money anyway. Like, I'll take whatever I can get to improve my overall totality of the roster. Like, I think Jamal Williams can be had. I think Khalil Herbert can be had. It's going to be a matter of what can you offer to make the roster for the other person work.
I just want to throw some names out there to get a line. I mean, because this is one of the hardest ones that you look at. I mean, so 4 names: Jerry Jeudy, Hollywood Brown, Amari Cooper, and Elijah Moore. Are any of those guys that you would rather have than Khalil Herbert right now?
Hollywood Brown for sure.
Mm-hmm. But his value is going to go down after week six, I have to imagine.
I think the Cardinals defense is so bad that you're going to have two guys that'd be fair. Totally fine passers.
Plus Hurts.
I think I would rather have Herbert over Elijah Moore. Who were the other guys that you mentioned?
Amari Cooper and Jerry Judy.
Oh, man. The Judy one's really interesting. I think that, like, if you were straight up Judy for Jamal Williams, the person who has mm-hmm. Jamal Williams will say yes every time. Like, that, again, this is a round 13 or 14 running back that you're going to have to. Yeah. You gladly take that.
I think Amari Cooper might be the only one I'd rather take.
Yeah, this is the compelling conversation.
So like, again, I hate those are the toughest questions in fantasy. Like, what kind of trade value would you like? So I tried to pick a range there that might make some names interesting. Because if you go ahead of those names, you look at guys like Deontay Johnson, Gabe Davis, Cortland Sutton. Obviously, I'd much rather have any of those guys over Herbert or Williams. But the next tier down, then things start to get interesting here. So hopefully that illustrated things a little bit, for the listeners out there. But why don't we touch on a couple of other possible pickups here. I want to head to the Bengals. You know, Samaje Perine is interesting because he's only 6% rostered. He's someone you can actually get out there if you're one of those listeners out there that, you know, has some savvy active owners in a deeper league here. So the reason I mentioned Samaje Perine is one, maybe some standalone value outside of Mixon. He had a 26.4% snap share, 33.8% snap share last week, 26.4% on the season. I do want to mention that Jerry has added a new column to the backfield breakdown, which is fantastic. And it's free this week and this week only, likely, where he puts the season long snap share along with carry share and target share next to the current week, which really helps you illustrate whether this week was more or less than what they've been doing all season. And it was a little bit more than what was going on all season. And that's because Samaje Perine took 100% of the snaps in the fourth quarter after Joe Mixon kind of went down with an ankle injury. Now, the Bengals have a short turnaround. They have Thursday night. Apparently, Mixon is good to go for this matchup. You know, he was limited on Monday's estimated practice report. But I'm still interested in Perine. Not that I'd pick him up and start him over Mixon if he's active. But if you find yourself in a tough scenario, with running backs or with the flex, you know, you have to throw Perine in there a little into consideration here because, the target share hasn't been huge, but there's a little standalone value outside of Mixon in a deeper league. And of course, if they limit Mixon at all on Thursday or he re-injures himself, then suddenly Perine sets him up for possibly a 50% or greater snap share, which would, I mean, this is all a gamble, but you're looking at a guy that's 6% roster to try to help you out. So he makes things interesting. Miami is, I guess I looked yesterday, the stat might have updated, but 17th against opposing running backs in fantasy. So Perine is one name that I'm possibly looking at.
Jake, I'll have to have you keep talking about the running backs because we're going to be possibly running into a forced update. I'm trying to quickly change that while things are going on. So I'll let you discuss the other running back. And if the broadcast stops in the next 40 seconds, we'll try to jump back in as soon as we can. But fun problems that we deal with Max.
All right. We're going to have to get tech support on that a little bit. Otherwise I might be able to, I don't know if I can resume the broadcast.
That's fine. We'll just keep talking about running backs.
All right. I'm going to keep talking about running backs. I'll run down my list here and maybe we split the show in two and do before and after running backs. Anyway, next guy on my list, JD McKissick, 26% rostered in Yahoo. The usage there for McKissick is interesting because, we see that, Antonio Gibson has been getting, pretty much he's been getting the goal line carries and that's helped sustain his value. He saved his fantasy day with a garbage time touchdown this past week. And, looking at the snap distribution here on the season, McKissick was 45.7%. So that's already high, already interesting. 52.6% here in week three. Basically, the Commanders got out to a deficit and were playing from behind the entire game, which makes sense that you use McKissick as the pass catching back. When Brian Robinson eventually comes back for the Commanders, I think he cuts into the use of Gibson more than he does McKissick. You know, McKissick is a guy that has been capable of catching a high volume of passes in the past. And I'm surprised that the rostership here is so low. I mean, he has among the whole team, you know, with some of the weapons that he has, he had a 15% target share in 2022, 21.4% target share on Sunday. So, you know, we're talking about Scary Terry, we're talking about Dotson, we're talking about Curtis Samuel, but McKissic is still warranting, you know, that much of the targets, of the target share. He needs to be someone that you can absolutely, maybe there's a home run week or two in there, there is some ceiling, but he's someone that in PPR leagues, that, you know, that's, those are probably the leagues where he's already rostered, mm-hmm. but in PPR leagues, you definitely have to think about getting him and using him as a possible flex play if you're in a tough running back situation. I also jotted down Craig Reynolds of the Lions on this list. I'm not crazy about him, but he's universally available. I want to make sure that you don't, because when making the outline, I almost made this mistake, but you don't want to mix him up with Josh Reynolds, a receiver who had 10 targets at Minnesota. Not quite sure that's sustainable. With you know, the Lions getting what's the rookie, Jameson Williams, coming back in a couple weeks.
Soon? I don't know.
Yeah,
if that's,
I think maybe a couple weeks. We have to look at that, as well as you know, the Sun got Amon-Ra, had to leave the game and come back a little bit. Mm. So I think that contributed a little bit, but I still don't rank Craig or Josh Reynolds over DJ Chark. But anyway, Craig Reynolds might step into more of a Swift role. At least there's room. I don't think Jamal Williams is suddenly going to come out and get 80, 90% of the snap share among the league leaders if Swift has to miss time. There's somebody else in that mix. And to me, it seems like I'm going to try to get some, look at some data here from last week. You know, he was out there 16% of the snaps here. And Reynolds, 7 touches for 18 yards. He didn't really have a good time finding room. It's more of a desperation play, but he's there. So those are my guys. I saw Mark Ingram pop up on a lot of lists. I'm not crazy about that. I'm not crazy about that, because Kamar didn't look good in his first game back, by the way. The Saints' offense on a whole didn't really look good. They kind of sputtered.
Oh boy, Olave.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, Olave's the stud. They're getting all the touches here. What do you think here? Are we back? Are we avoiding the update?
I might have stopped Doomsday for now, but again, if we at any point have the broadcast just end, it's thankfully forced updates by Google and stuff. That's we're good. I think we've survived, Jake. I think I've stopped Doomsday.
Hopefully I talked us through our running backs here and have enough breath left to do this Vivid Seats right here.
We're good.
Okay, cool. So I threw on Mark Ingram because I saw him pop up on a lot of lists. I don't think there's a lot of ceiling there. You're basically hoping for a goal line carry that he actually succeeds on, and that's your best bet. So I mean, and you're going to need that to get double digit points out of him. So I don't love it. I mean, it's pretty much the same situation, at least with, you know, I guess not the same as Craig Reynolds, because Jamal Williams is getting those goal line carries. So we'll Mark Ingram, more of a desperation play, which brings me to cuts. We were high on Darrell Williams last week. Obviously, that was under the assumption that James Conner wouldn't play. Conner ended up being active, which basically vanishes Darrell Williams' utility. So Darrell Williams is basically a low-value handcuff in a deep league where you have Conner at this point. If not, you can let him go. The other hot pickup was Zamir White. I know you were doing injuries Saturday, and a lot of reports, speculation was that Josh Jacobs wasn't even going to travel with the team. Then that spinned right back around, and he ended up traveling, playing. No real utility for Zamir White. So those are both guys. And the other guy is Kenneth Gainwell of the Eagles. Now, people think a little bit differently about him. There are a lot of schools of thought, because he did have a 31.4% snap share week 3. His snap share on the season is 29.4%. So, you know, a guy that's out there on the field a third of the time is going to probably convert an inside the 5 carry eventually. He's going to maybe have a big play or two eventually. But he turned that snap share on Sunday into 3 carries and 0 targets. And that's on a team where Jalen Hurts is getting so many of the rushing touchdowns, and where Miles Sanders has established himself as the lead back. I 12 teamers, there's no reason to hang on to Gainwell. I'm keeping him in a 14 team dynasty league out of hopes that he can somehow turn this around. If something were to happen to Sanders, I'm not necessarily 100% sure Gainwell just takes over there. I mean, Boston Scott would get a huge chunk of that work in that scenario. So for now, Gainwell is a drop for me if you have to. I mean, there's still a little bit of long-term upside. Maybe he can get something going here. But for now, I don't think he's necessary to keep on your roster. And you definitely be dropping him for most of the backs. I drop him for, obviously, Williams, Madison, Herbert. Mm-hmm. Chances are they're not out there if you're rostering Gainwell anyway. I'd probably drop him for McKissic as well.
I was, you know, if I was on this broadcast last week, I would have mentioned James Cook as a drop candidate. Where are you, who has been invested in James Cook quite a bit, either on dynasty purposes?
That was the only league I touched him.
I thought you had more shares.
I only got him in the Dynasty League, and I didn't care for him in redraft because I think Devin Singletary is still the man. And Devin Singletary was out on the field for 73.6% of snaps against the Dolphins. So, that's good enough for me. James Cook, is involved in the passing game. He had 5 targets, but Singletary had 11 targets. And then Cook only had 1 carry. He's interesting. I don't have much interest in him for redraft. I mean, you're keeping him around. And I don't even necessarily know that he's the handcuff to Singletary. It could be Zach. Yeah, it could be Zach Moss. I mean, if Singletary gets hurt, maybe James Cook goes up to like 30-40% of snaps at best with a little bit more of a pass catching role. But for redraft leagues, I think you can pretty safely part ways. Obviously, the big 3 guys we mentioned, I'd rather have over Cook. I think I'd drop Cook for McKissick too.
Okay. I tend to agree with you on that as well. So let's transition over to wide receiver, which I think actually is more waiver wire utility, specifically to a few spots. But first, a word from our sponsors of Vivid Seats. Hey, football fans, get your jerseys and your tailgate snacks ready. That's right, NFL season is back, and so is your chance to score tickets with Vivid Seats. Download the Vivid Seats app or visit vividseats.com to see your team's schedule, compare tickets, and secure your spot in the stands. As the only ticketing company with a reward program, Vivid Seats is the winning app for NFL fans like you. Earn credit when you buy 10 tickets, then cash in to catch more games all season long. With tickets from Vivid Seats, you go from watching the game to being a part of it. Go to vividseats.com or find us in the App Store to browse unbeatable seats. We'll see you in the stadium. Okay, last week, Michael Gallup, who we again mentioned this week as a possible pickup, should be back for week 4. Yeah, Garrett Wilson, who I thought had a pretty good performance, and we still have Zach Wilson theoretically back soon. Jacoby Myers,
Garrett Wilson, I believe, left and then came back. Yep, so I think he's healthy enough, but he seems to be the guy over Elijah Moore for sure.
I love Jacoby Myers, provided he's healthy. Obviously, didn't play this pass, but I think against the Packers in week 4, whether it is Brian Hoyer or Mac Jones, should be Brian Hoyer. Myers will be fine. Obviously, certainly Shepard has injury.
Because of his injury reserve, too.
Kind of crazy kind of week 3 performance overall. So because Sammy Watkins is on injury reserve, out for the next 4 weeks, Romeo Doubs, I think, might be my favorite waiver wire pickup for most people. He's only rostered in 25% of leagues. That was a vintage wide receiver 1 performance that we saw against the Buccaneers. And I'm happy that Aaron Rodgers seemed to trust him in critical plays. The slants, it wasn't just bubbles and obviously schemed plays. It was Romeo Doubs, get open. I will look for you if you are open. And that's what you want from your Packers wide receiver.
So, first you look at the snap share, right? Lazard leads the way, 91.7%. Dobbs, 90%. Randall Cobb's only 40%. So Dobbs right there alone, you have wide receiver 2. His 8 catches was a franchise rookie record.
Which is crazy.
I guess it's just historically been, you slowly wait for the rookie receivers to develop. And he did so against the Tampa Bay secondary. I almost mixed those two together. But a Tampa Bay secondary, that is solid. This is going to be one of the better matchups he faces. And he comes out with a performance like that. It's been a roller coaster with him. He got so much draft hype to the point he was getting, I've seen him go in the 10th, 11th round. Then the usage wasn't quite there. And now that the usage has to be there, there we are. So Dobbs could be a guy I could see being very productive in any kind of formats. And if you can't go ahead and get the running backs that we want you to get this week, you could easily put him at the top of your list.
I think he is going to be a guy that gets targeted quite a bit. Then there was Russell Gage on the opposite side of that matchup. He had 12 catches of his 13 targets, had that one fumble, but 87 yards for a touchdown. We don't know yet if Julio Jones will be back or not. We do know Mike Evans will return from the suspension. Chris Godwin should theoretically be back soon.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers are going to have more reinforcements available. Absolutely. However, this was what you were hoping to get if you had bet me as to Alan Lazard or Russell Gage in terms of scoring. Yes, I say that because Alan Slezowski and I have a bet going
there
right now, and who scores more points? Alan's winning. Mm-hmm. I'm crossing fingers that by the time the end of the season occurs, Lazard will be back in form and Gage will not. But this was a good game for him and certainly for PPR managers out there.
So here's my not so fast on Russell Gage. Yes, he had 13 targets, caught 12 of them for 87 yards and his score. But I saw yesterday that Tom Brady just, after Jair Alexander went out, he was trying to pick on the rookie a little bit, who ended up having a pretty good game. But I think, so what was it? Eric Stokes was on the field for 50 snaps in coverage.
Zero targets.
Right? And I think he saw one target and that ended up gaining 6 yards on a really short play. Maybe that stat differs, depends on who's keeping him. But Tom Brady didn't touch. He wasn't looking at Stokes. So I think that was naturally the door for Gage to come through. So the fact that he probably won't be that dialed in future games and that the reinforcements are coming makes me a little hesitant on Gage. But then again, you look at the injury report. If he's one of the last men standing there by the time, you know, the active roster comes out, then there's some utility there for sure.
And then you had Devontae Parker, who stepped in, and we mentioned multiple times. Jacoby Myers didn't play in this game. And now it looks the Patriots will be out Mac Jones for at least a week or two.
Yep.
I'm also convinced I'm not buying the Devontae Parker. And I was all in on Parker to begin the season. 5 catches for 156 yards. Great. It's the 10 targets that are nice. We'll have to see. I mean, like, it's possible, depending on how long Brian Hoyer is your starter for the Patriots, that we could have some utility out of one of these Patriots guys.
Yeah.
We have to see how it works, though, with who he is targeting, because that's going to matter more.
Yeah, Parker passes the eye test. He looks like he still has it to some degree, but I feel like the scheme and Hoyer at quarterback is probably going to be a little more friendly to the shorter routes that Myers runs. You know, they might not take quite as many shots at Devontae Parker, and I don't think he sees double-digit targets more than once or twice the rest of the season unless Myers, you know, misses additional time. I think Myers is going to get a lot of those targets, and it's going to kind of get sucked in for more of that target share. Now, Parker is absolutely a player that you can pick up and wide receiver three or flex and hope that he breaks three on one of those deeper passes, and you can almost have a LaVisca Chenault scenario where you get a long touchdown out of him. That is certainly possible. You have to like where he's at if you have any best ball shares, but you know, for every game, for every line he has like this, he's going to have like a 2 catches for 14 yards line. So I don't get too crazy excited about him.
Then we had KJ Osborne, 5 catches, 73 yards on touchdown. George Pickens had that massive catch. And then not much else in that contest. Isaiah McKenzie did a little bit more for the Bills offense, and they threw a lot of passes, didn't run a lot. Obviously lost that game, but McKenzie seems to be a bit of a factor. Of those mentioned guys, Osborne, Pickens, and McKenzie, do you have a certain lean on any one of those three?
Yeah, it depends on your team needs a little bit. I mean, I like McKenzie probably the most because I think they'll work in three wide receiver sets. He was working ahead of Gabe Davis, though Davis was probably a little bit limited here. That might change if Gabe Davis gets healthier. Probably McKenzie number one, though. Osborne, he's only 6% rostered, and he's been on the field back-to-back week for about 3/4 of snaps. So he's the wide receiver three in a team that's going to run plenty of wide receiver sets. You know, he got a pretty friendly matchup against the Lions this week. Now we'll see with New Orleans next week if, you know, they try to get Lattimore on Jefferson a little bit more. And, you know, maybe they have to go, Cousins has to go to the secondary options. I think Osborne is someone that'll get you some production at least week to week, where Pickens is a guy. So Osborne, like, you can start and flex if you really, really have to and count on him to get you some points, where Pickens is going to be kind of very hit or miss. He's someone that you obviously saw the raw skill on Thursday night, but he's someone that you pick up and bench stash a little bit more until there's a quarterback change in Pittsburgh or until you actually see it, because there are things that I could see him being more of a late season breakout than someone I would trust to go out and start this week.
No, speaking of late season breakout, how about a guy like Treylon Burks, who is at 45% rostered, so kind of meets our threshold a little bit. I think he saw the most snaps, or at least close to it, of any Titans wide receivers, too. So he's playing. So if he's playing, eventually he's going to break out. I think Treylon Burks is one of those guys that if you can wait out a fantasy manager for one of those better days ahead, he is I would not cut him. Like that's of our threshold wide receivers, I'm not cutting Treylon Burks
yet. Yeah, it's a very tough situation because I'm not cutting him in the two leagues that I have him, which are Stake League and a 12-team keeper league. But I'm also not really starting him because it was the snap share is going up, right? You go from 36.7% in week one to 47.2% to 67.3%. So this was the first week that he was second on the team to Robert Woods and has passed Westbrook Akeen in snap share. That's significant to me. And when he gets the ball, he seems to pass the eye test too. He's just, I don't know, he's not quite getting the ball enough yet to be able to really, really trust him. But I do like going after him and stashing him if you can. I probably like him a little bit better. I think I like him a little bit better than Pickens, even though maybe Pickens has obviously you saw that catch. There's maybe a little bit more raw talent there, but there's more of a door for Burks to see some solid usage here. So I like him a little bit better.
Thinking of stashing receivers too, Michael Gallup, again, we'll mention one more time, at 36% rostered. I anticipate he plays next week. Once he plays, that's it. You will not get him. You will not see him on this program anymore.
Exactly.
He's going to be over 50% rostered. Mm-hmm. We'll far above.
I think this might be, this alone might be the last week. Because even if for whatever reason he doesn't play next week, everyone's going to be like, okay, he for sure is playing next the week after, and I need to go ahead and get him.
We've had a couple people on the comments section ask about Chris Olave, who's at 65% rostered, far above our threshold right now. It's been more like, do I trade Chris Olave for AJ Dillon? I'm not sure what player you'd have to mention right now that I'd be more comfortable with you trading for Olave. Like, I think Olave is going to be a top 30 fantasy wide receiver at that spot or around there for most of the season. That's way too valuable, especially for you're able to get him. I'm not sure you can find a trade value that works.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's been a target machine these last couple of weeks. Jameis loves throwing the ball in his general direction. Jarvis Landry, Traquan Smith, and Michael Thomas all came up with injuries after the end of last week too. So that's only going to continue. I had the most interesting question. A friend texted me the other night about needing to get a running back for their dynasty, for their run. And it was like, in a trade scenario, which one would you rather keep? T. Higgins, where you only have 2 years of him, or Olave, where you get 3 years of him? And I was thinking, oh man, that's a lot tougher than it should be here. And I was trying to, I guess I was trying to encourage him to shop T. Higgins over Olave, because the perception is that you're going to be able to get a whole lot more than him this week. So, you know, he desperately needed a running back. I hope it worked out there. But yeah, Olave is, and the other risk of that would be, you know, you have Burrow kind of presumably in for the long haul. The quarterback situation could be more volatile in New Orleans here, but Olave, absolute target monster, back-to-back weeks with 13 targets. He's the guy Jameis trusts. Does have a few tough secondary matchups on paper coming up, but, you know, small sample size could be leading to that. I love Olave. I mean, at 65% rostered, he's someone that I love almost more than I loved Garrett Wilson last week. He's the top name that you punch in when you're looking on waivers for sure.
Any other wide receivers you want to talk about? Any cuts that you want to make at least?
Yeah, I mean, Zay Jones had a pretty nice line, 10 of 11 targets for 85 yards and a score. Maybe there's room for another wide receiver next to Christian Kirk there in Jacksonville if we're buying the Trevor Lawrence resurgence. I guess I'm a little hesitant on that maybe being fluky, but we throw it out there nonetheless. There are a couple false alarm guys I wrote down. I mean, Laviska Shenault had that nice looking big play, but in the end, he only had two targets. Josh Reynolds from Detroit had those 10 targets, but I'm not really interested unless, you know, there's a more serious Amon-Ra injury. I'm also calling a little bit of a fluke on that Mac Hollins line too. 8 of 10 targets for 158 in a score. I'm not necessarily interested in that. They're feeling the heat, and they're going to find a way to get Devontae the ball more. They just have to. You know, when you're targeting Mac Hollins the same amount of times as Devontae, that's a problem that you need to get you need to address here. Cut list, Darnell Mooney has to show up on this cut list finally. I could easily see parting ways with him because fantasy purgatory. He sits on your bench. You can't trust him to start. Nobody's going to give you anything of value for him in a trade, so he's toast. Sky Moore, I cut him already. I cut him for Jerick McKinnon last week you a perspective on how little I view him. I mean, you know, the fact that he's the punt returner and he's muffing punts and costing people the game. You know, I took all those extra Chiefs receivers. I think Valdes-Scantling has emerged as the second Chiefs receiver, and the way Sky Moore's been showing out, it's going to be MVS probably for the rest of the season. So I cut Sky Moore. I had previously thought about sticking Tony on this cut list, but obviously that was before the
news that Sterling
the
Shepard
news about Sterling Shepard. Yeah, so I was making this started before the Monday night game. Obviously that changes. You have to keep Tony around.
I still will be fine cutting him. I think Wandale and Tony more or less cut into each other's workload. Yeah. And
I mean, you could cut Tony for Dobbs. Cut Tony for McKenzie, maybe.
Dobbs needs to be rostered. Like, if we do this podcast next week and he's not in the 40% roster range, I'm going to be upset. Dobbs is that guy.
I think people are going to realize that. People are going to get smart. Aaron Rodgers, wide receiver one, or even wide receiver two. I mean, you can make that argument with Lazard. But, you know, just think for a second. Maybe Lazard keeps a similar role to past years. and Dobbs steps into that more Davante Adams looking role, then we suddenly have something here. But I think the users are smart across all fantasy leagues, and that roster ship's going to get corrected.
I actually think there's two tight ends that are worth discussing and probably could be near the top of the waiver wire for week four. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, let's get a word from our sponsors, Monkey Knife Fight. Football is officially back on Monkey Knife Fight with all the NFL action you're looking for. And if college football is more of your speed, you got plenty of that too. On Monkey Knife Fight, there's no sharks, no salary caps, and no math. It's just easy to play, easy to win. Daily fantasy player props. Join now at monkeyknifefight.com and you get your first game free. Then use promo code RWNFL to get your first deposit matched instantly up to $100. What are you waiting for? Join Monkey Knife Fight today. Last week you mentioned Gesicki, Evan Engram, Logan Thomas, Hayden Hurst, and Conklin, Ferguson and payout as well. But yeah. Hey, it's the David Njoku sighting. Again, now mm-hmm. Be careful. 51% rostered. There might have been some fantasy managers who after the first 2 weeks mm-hmm. gave up completely. Well, you watched yep. on Thursday. Wrong approach. 9 catches of his 10 targets, 89 yards, a touchdown. Clearly was the team's wide receiver too. I don't know how, if you are the Browns, you can go back from what you did on Thursday and do anything else but have David Njoku as your second target behind Amari Cooper the rest of the season. Like you can't literally transition mm-hmm. your game plan backwards because that's what it would be. He looked dynamic last night, and I thought, last week. It should be pretty good. Low and tight end one rest of the season.
He definitely pushed guys like Donovan Peoples-Jones down to the cut list if he wasn't there already. This is a run heavy offense, right? You have room for two pass catchers, and those pass catchers are Amari Cooper and David Njoku with a little bit of Kareem Hunt mixed in there. So Njoku seems like the guy. You know, a lot of people are thinking, that Baker was the problem, and maybe with what's happening to DJ Moore, Baker is the problem after all. After Baker couldn't make it work with Odell Beckham, couldn't really make it work with Njoku for all those years. But no, Njoku is definitely a guy where if you have any kind of tight end insecurity and he's out there at all, you definitely sacrifice a whole lot to get him on your roster for sure. Even if you have some tight end security, you're definitely taking a look. The other guy I wrote down was Tyler Conklin. We need to revisit him. Alan and I talked about him last week, 21% roster. He has 24 targets through 3 games. That's about as good as you're going to hope for from mm-hmm. a tight end on the waiver wire.
Just to put that into context, the Chargers' top target guy is Gerald Everett at 22. The Chargers, that offense, yes. and Tyler Conklin is 24. Mm-hmm. That's enough, especially in a super flex league, or I've seen a lot more of these leagues now where it's 1.5 points per reception for tight ends.
Yep, that Conklin's seems to be a growing trend.
Yeah,
yep.
He's an interesting name to monitor. For sure. Mm-hmm.
And you look at Conklin's upcoming matchups too. Again, small sample size, so these defense versus position stats don't mean a ton yet. But Pittsburgh is 18th against opposing tight ends, and Miami is 29th against opposing tight ends. A lot of that with Miami is because they had to play Mark Andrews 1 week. So, the matchups here are looking pretty decent on paper here. And, this Jets team, I guess there's some risk with the quarterback turnover. Like, will there be the same level of involvement, or does, Wilson decide to get his boy from last year, Elijah Moore, a little bit more involved? But either way, that type of target share is worth adding, at least to give yourself some tight end security as have a tight end two around.
Real quick, let's just discuss the streaming defenses option of this program here. So we have the Steelers against the Jets, Eagles against the Jaguars, but they're both at about 60% rostered right now. I like the Packers as well. If the Packers are available mm-hmm. against Brian Hoyer, that's like a top five play this week, but they're at 69% mm-hmm. rostered.
Yeah.
So it might, of those three, I bet you one of them will be available mm-hmm. in most formats.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if the Packers held Tom Brady, even with a shorthanded wide receiving group, if the Packers held Tom Brady to 12 points and 6 of those points came on the last drive of the game, imagine what they're going to do to Brian Hoyer. So, they're a team that I could even see bidding a buck or two in fab if they're out there on the wires. So those are the top names to type in first, but we want to keep it under 50%. So some of the names I've found, the Colts are 35% rostered. They did hold Patton Holmes and the Chiefs in check. They're home at Tennessee.
Derrick Henry gives them problems, though. That makes me worried. Okay.
Derrick Henry gives them, again, he I'm gives everyone stretching problems, here. I know, but yeah, the Vikings, 19%. They're at New Orleans, so I don't typically like streaming the road team. But like I mentioned earlier in the show, the Saints offense was bad for pretty much 3.5 quarters of the game. Got some back in garbage time, but they couldn't really move the football. Maybe we see a better Kamara next week. That could be a situation. But overall, I'm not really loving it. I'm also seeing a lot of people suggest the Bears on the road against the Giants.
No,
I'm not quite sure I love that, but there is a this is a Bears team that has a huge playmaker in Roquan Smith. They have shown that they can get to the quarterback, and the Giants might be like the Bucks or worse in terms of their wide receiver groups. Who's going to catch passes for him next week? So I guess I'll try to rationalize that, but I would probably rather take the Colts if none of those other three teams that we started off with are available.
I guess I'll have you real quick, Jake, pull up one of Jerry Donabedian's snap share and target plays or whatever. We have a user asking about Justice Hill, who had six carries for 60 yards for the Ravens last week. And this is important because J.K. Dobbins did make his season debut, and that Ravens offense has been insane. The Ravens have the Bills this week. That's the highest over-under of the week four slate at 52 points. We have talked about every Ravens running back under the sun: Kenyon Drake, Mike Davis, J.K. Dobbins. Justice Hill has never been in my conversation or my thought process. And I'm curious, with those six carries for 60 yards, if he got more snaps than we've seen him.
So I saw him. I saw him on a few lists. I didn't quite think he was big enough to include, but I guess with Gus Edwards on the PUP list, Kenyon Drake not being involved at all, Mike Davis seeing single-digit snaps, Hill has grown to the backup there. Now, I suspect that J.K. Dobbins' role will grow until he gets closer to 60-70% of the snaps, even though they've typically used multiple backs. I feel like this was a kind of ease him in type role, but because you asked for the numbers here, Justice Hill, 47.5% of the snap share in week three. So that puts his season at 34.7%. Dobbins had seven carries. Hill had six. Justice Hill had zero targets in the passing game. So that limits it a little bit. But in the second half is where things got interesting. This is right from Jerry's article. Hill got far more playing time than Dobbins, with a 73-27 snap share advantage and 5-3 edge in carries in the second half. So that is going to make things interesting. I could see.
Is that because they were limiting Dobbins, though?
Like, yeah, see, that's my big worry here. Again, it's Justice Hill. If it hasn't, you know, he had chances to to really separate himself against the pack, you know, last season and earlier in this season as well, when they had basically for two seasons he had a chance to separate himself, and for this season too he did, and he never really took advantage of those opportunities here. Now, he had a good game this past week, but I mean, you're not going to pick him up and start him against the Bills next week. You know, that's for sure. That's just not going to happen. Right. You know, we saw, even though that Bills Dolphins game was one of the weirdest stat lines
had two rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we were on Mostert a little bit last week. By the way, don't cut Mostert yet. I still think he'll be fine. You know, it was just a matchup against the Bills, but you're not picking Justice Hill up and starting him against the Bills this next week. And you know, by the time we get to 2 weeks from now and beyond, I think it's J.K. Dobbins' backfield. So that's why I guess I left him off. I'd much rather pick up I'd rather pick up McKissick, and maybe even I'd rather pick up P. Ryan this week than anything I'd count on Justice Hill for.
I tend to agree. Trey points out that Justice Hill was part of that 17 running backs that were injured last year. He's correct, but even still, I think Justice Hill has had time during training camp to break out more from a perspective where he could be that guy. He hasn't been.
Good point from the user. I was looking at 2019, played in 16 games. 2020, played in 12 games, but I should have read that as 2021. I think your
analysis is wrong because he was not a guy in training camp that was really emerging either. He's had his opportunities. We haven't seen it yet. Yeah. Real quick, another user pointing out for us, and I actually think this matters more for you, Jake.
So did I mess up?
No. So you don't party too hard Saturday night and Sunday morning. We have our first London game. The Vikings are traveling to London to play the Saints. I don't think that matters much from a streaming perspective, but you were saying you don't want to play the Vikings defense or the Saints defense because vice versa. That is going to be a good point.
I did screw up. I did screw up because it's technically a home game for the Saints. So thank you for mentioning that.
I don't know if I don't play the Saints defense anymore or the Vikings defense anymore because there are
– That actually makes me like the Vikings a little bit more because I was originally thinking it was a road game in New Orleans, and you know, I like to avoid that when I'm streaming defenses. But the fact that it's a road game for both teams and there's travel involved and the way this New Orleans offense has been makes me think that maybe the Vikings are a little bit more attractive as a stream. So I'm gonna have a decision to make because I picked up the Bears in the Invitational to stream against the Texans last week. Mm. You know, average, whatever, nothing too special. I think they got me 5 points because there's no bonuses for points allowed or anything like that. I might swap them for the Vikings this week.
Okay, well, that's fair. Just want to. The users are picking us up, Jake.
Absolutely. It's like
week four London games. That seems crazy to me. Week four for London.
exactly. Or whatever. Yeah. So thanks for catching me on that error. I do really appreciate that. It's like the end of PTI when they have their fact check, their errors and omissions. I appreciate that. One of these days we'll get a Jamie in here to be our producer. But until then, we appreciate all the help from the users.
Yeah, that does it for us in the Week 4 NFL podcast. Again, for the hopefully for the user who came in late, my voice will be arriving a little bit better for Week 5. We'll have to see. I will not be going to the Packers game. I still can't imagine having a cheer, but I know you will, Jake. You're going to be rooting on Brian Hoyer throwing many interceptions to the Packers defense. And again, if one of those three, if the Packers defense, if it was going to be we mentioned the other two.
I should keep my voice this week at the Packer game because normally the tickets that are mine were right on the aisle. And, after a few beverages, I kind of find it to be my duty to turn around and pump the section up on third down. These tickets aren't mine. They're from a friend. Hey, Matt, I think it helps. We're right in the end zone. Sometimes we're pretty close. Got to get the people on their feet here. But no, these tickets are from a friend. I don't know where these are going to be. Maybe I'll do a little bit less yelling at this game than is normal. But yeah, I'm that guy. So if you see me at the Packer game, give me a high five and help me pump the crowd up.
One of the Packers, Steelers, or Eagles, again, they're all about 60% roster. They should be – one of those should be available. I think will be the top start for this week. All right, again, that does it for us. Next week we'll be back for a Week 5 waiver wire pickups. Until then, best of luck for your fantasy lineups.